The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Before we get started, I did want to warn you, there are Emancipation spoilers ahead. So if you haven't watched Emancipation yet, pause this episode, watch Emancipation on Apple TV, and then don't forget to come back and hear the insights Gammy had to share with us.
Hey, y'all. Hey, what's up? And welcome to Let's Red Table That. I'm Tracy T. Rowe.
And I'm Cara Presley. And boy, what a truly special episode we have today, Tracy.
Amen. Will Smith came to the table bringing all three of his kids with him to talk about his new movie Emancipation that just came out on Apple TV. He really dug deep for this role and this Red Table Talk exclusive. And now we get to bring a Red Table Talk host who wasn't at the Red Table, so she has to come to the virtual Red Table for the recap. Welcome the one and only Gammy!
Hey guys, thank you for having me.
Yeah,
we are so excited you're here.
Thank you so much for joining us. All right, well, let's jump into our favorite segment. It's my favorite part of the show. Wait, what? Okay, this is the part of the show where we reveal which moments made us pause, rewind, and listen again. So let's get into it. Tracy, you want to kick it off?
Absolutely. Since the trailer dropped, we've been told that Emancipation is not just another slave movie. Mm-hmm. And at the Red Table, Will said,
when the first teaser came out, his people were like, why another slave movie? And it's like, this is not a slave movie.
No.
This is a freedom movie.
I've loved that because it's so true. Did Emancipation feel like a freedom movie to you, Gammy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It felt like a freedom movie and it felt like a history lesson.
I agree.
You know, it was really important for us to see the struggle and remember the resilience and power that we have as a community and a culture. And that's what I want people to see in the movie. I want them to see the power of faith that was really strong in that movie. It also helped me understand how religion is so grounded in our culture. Mm-hmm. That was the way we survived. But it was really depicted so beautifully there. And it was almost hard to understand. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because when you're struggling like that and going through those kinds of, tumultuous times, it's like that kind of brutality, like how can you survive it? So that was really powerful for me. So it was faith, freedom, resilience, black love.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? Family.
That's the undercut for me. The backstory is the black love.
Yeah.
Because he did everything for his family.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was the being fed up. Like, we all go through, and of course, we're not dealing with that level of stress. However, the moment he got fed up and decided to retaliate, I definitely resonated with that because we all said, what if I fought back? I did this, I did that. And to see it for that time was powerful.
How do you feel about slave films being made today? Not Emancipation, but just other slave films that are out.
Hey, listen, I feel like it is really important, but I do understand people's resistance to it. But it is part of our history. No, it is not our entire history, but it is the beginning and important part of our history here in America. And we can't forget it. We cannot, because I'm telling you, and I think even Jaden said it in the show, and I say it all the time, those who forget are doomed to repeat.
Repeat it.
The normalization of bigotry and racism in America that is continuing today is dangerous.
That part.
It is so dangerous.
And so for me, it is really important, not so much for people in my generation, but for younger people, because they think it's so far removed. It is not.
Very far removed.
It is not. Mm-hmm. And we are living and dealing with this today. Now, I'm going to say this, and you all can cut it if you want, but this past Saturday in New York City, there was a gathering of white supremacists and white nationalists at a very fancy gathering and dinner. They were there to support one another and to strategize.
Right.
Okay.
That part. And that is dangerous.
And it is dangerous. Very, it is dangerous. Very. And we can't forget that. So we have to remember who we are and take these moments to help bring us together as a community, as a culture, as a race. Because if we don't, we're not going to survive. And if we can ever put all of that aside, all of our differences just within our culture aside, and come together as a community and as a culture, the power that we have, baby.
Man.
It's unstoppable.
It's unstoppable. And we are missing
it. Really is.
We are missing the importance of
it. We are totally missing
it. And young people, let me tell you, they worried about the wrong shit.
Hello. Come on, Gam. Let them know.
Say it again.
They're worried about the wrong stuff.
It is the truth.
That part.
I had a conversation earlier about this, and I think that's why emancipation is right on time.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people who are so far removed, either by time and generations, but also not being exposed to it in proximity, that they put themselves in a suburban environment, that they don't have to deal with any of the things. They're not, quote unquote, seen as people of color or black people, so they don't feel the true pressures that are out in society until they get fully exposed. And then they're literally blindsided by it and don't know how to handle it. So this was a phenomenal reminder for everyone.
And listen, it was important for the Smith family to see it. Okay? Because they're removed. They're removed. And they have individually had their experiences, though.
But
it's important. It is just important, because sometimes you get caught up in your everyday life. And if you are not subjected to it, you kind of forget what's going on for the average person.
You are so right. You are so right.
And if you're growing up black in America, or if you're living black in America, you are suffering from PTSD.
Yes, indeed.
Period.
Yes, indeed. That's a 100% fact. No cap.
Yeah. So I think it's important. I think that it's important that these stories continue to be told. And yes, we have so many more stories that need to be told. But trust me and believe that there were students in that room that are creatives, that are future filmmakers, that are future writers and directors and cinematographers. And they need to see that and then be inspired to create other stories.
Right.
That's stories that we have to tell. We have to tell our own stories.
That's
but we also have to teach our own history. We're sitting around waiting for somebody else to teach us our history. No, that's our job. It's our responsibility.
Yes.
In your own family. Yeah, you have to take responsibility for what your children are exposed to. You can't expect them to get it. You waiting around for them to get it in school, you'll be waiting a long damn time.
Yeah, you will you'll die before you get to that.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Listen, when Will explained how he found his character, that was empowering, I'm going to say, number one, because he chose to dig deep.
Won't be too much work to find this character. Putting the chains on.
Oh, man.
As an actor, you're always trying to find a thing that makes you understand the character.
When those chains went on, can you imagine even wearing those? And then the additional chains he shared at the table, the part that stuck out the most was when he said, who even imagines this?
Right.
You know, so that's why when white culture is like, oh, let's just forget about it. Let's not forget about it. No, let's talk about how you even thought about it. So yeah,
exactly.
What is that experience like? What do you think about those chains?
Oh man, it was so emotional. It was so emotional and hard to sit there and watch the movie. And I think what a young lady in the audience that had a question for Will also talked about the fact that it's one thing to read it.
Yes.
But then to see it kind of come to life. And that's just, I mean, and that was lightweight.
Right.
Light.
That Very was lightweight, lightweight to what we know really was going on.
That's right. That's right.
I have no words. It's that heartbreaking.
Yeah. When Will said they lost the key for a minute.
So they put it on, they do it. So I'm standing there. And then he goes to take it off, and it doesn't work. So it's locked on, and my heart jumps.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no, oh, no, and oh, no. So I'm sitting there. Now he's running around looking for the keys, and for 15 minutes, I'm stuck there in the chain. Mm. And my heart is pounding, and I'm like, Will, do not freak, right? And I'm sitting there, and then it's like, I got it. It's like, I'm Will Smith with people running around looking for keys.
And your heart is still
And my
pounding.
Heart is still pounding and I'm still scared. Imagine what it was like for Peter to have that stuff on.
Oh my gosh.
I felt that anxiety and that claustrophobia and that anxiousness with him.
Even his piece when he said he felt embarrassed. I feel as though he felt embarrassed to maybe even react like you... Because they want you to be subdued, right, in these chains and not have any emotion. That's baffling to me.
I hope that people really watch this episode of Red Table because it's important for people to understand what goes into making a film like that.
Right.
And how deep you have to go to just to try to get close to authenticity.
Right.
Yes.
And so
That was key.
Yeah, just close to authenticity. When Ben Foster was talking and Will was talking about the fact that he never spoke to him, how could it be that they could work and do scenes like that to the level that they did it and then be laughing and joking after when they said cut?
Exactly.
What? No.
It
wouldn't have worked.
I think that it made it even more effective and believable that Ben Foster took the approach he did.
Yes.
Because he stayed so deep into his character. Mm-hmm. And if that is the antithesis of who you really are, I imagine that you have to have some constant reminder of the brutality, of the hatred that feeds that type of character as an antagonist. Yeah. And so the wait what for me, when he talked about Ben, who played that antagonist, and he was the antagonist of all antagonists in Emancipation, mm-hmm. not knowing Will until the final shot was complete, mm-hmm. that was powerful.
I'm doing my, thing. I'm in the extras. Hey, thank you all very much, everybody, blah, blah, blah. In my mind, I was giving my best Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben just walked past me and didn't say nothing. I was like, oh, he must not have seen me. And then for 6 months, he didn't speak to me. He didn't make eye contact with me. He didn't say a word. He didn't acknowledge me for 6 months.
Okay, even though it was for the film, seems like this added to how emotionally draining this production would have been for Will. I cannot imagine tapping out of the day. And like he said, he was reaching back trying to find himself and couldn't always make that connection. How does hearing some of those behind-the-scenes stories affect how you viewed the film as a whole, Gammy?
Oh, because there were times when they had to break from film because of weather and stuff like that. I knew what was going on, and I had those conversations with him during those break periods, and all I could do was just sit and listen. Mm. That's all I could do was just sit and listen because I just couldn't imagine. I just couldn't imagine putting myself in those circumstances and going back there. Like you said, the brutality and violence and dehumanization that was experienced during the times is just unimaginable. It's just unimaginable.
I'm getting a little worked up, right now, just us thinking about what we saw, let alone what our own people experienced. Because there's stories that are like Peter's throughout all of our family histories, our lineage.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
That's the hardest part about it. Exactly. And we can forget about it if we want to, but it's still there.
It's still there.
It does not.
Critical race theory teaching or not.
Exactly.
Listen, we're going to take a quick break because it's just getting juicy. So listen, but when we get back, we're going to ask Gam all the questions we've been saving up this season. So stay tuned.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
We're back, and let's just talk about what we all overall felt and what we thought of emancipation. Was there a scene or a moment of emancipation that really stood out to you guys?
Oh, my God.
Pick one, right? I can kick it off. I'm going to kick it off. One of the things that stood out for me, of course, was just the overall color of the movie. The cinematography was amazing, and eliminating that color really helped me focus on the story more. So I was appreciative of that because who knew I needed that?
I have so many.
Do you?
I have several. I have three that are my top three.
Okay. You know what? Let me say this. I have felt like you have been my voice this entire season, because almost everything you've said this season, I'd be like, yep, I agree with Gam 100%. Right. I gave side eye to the person 100%. You get forever side eye, just like Gam gave you 100%. So you forget it. So go ahead and say your three, Gam, because I think we'll probably align with this too.
Okay. Probably. So one of the ones was, because I saw the film before it was totally complete. And then I went to the premiere and saw it, and this scene was not in there. And so it shocked me. And that was when Do Dien put her hand into the cotton gin to maim herself. Mm. That threw me. The extent that Black women have to go through and the suffering. Like, she maimed herself to save her family because she was going to get sold away.
Right, to stay.
So it was that. The second one was when the little girl cried, runner, runner.
Mm-hmm. I said, who knew this is when Karens were born? This isn't any great. We laugh about it, but this is an ingrained
proof that
thing.
Hate is taught. Hate is taught. And
hate
then
taught.
Ben Foster's scene, again, proof that hate is taught, when they were at the campfire and he was talking about the woman that cared for him.
Yes.
But the important thing was his statement of, if you give them a crumb, they'll take the world. There are people that still believe that to this day.
Today.
Literally.
They believe
and
it
that's
today.
That's the thing. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the scary part.
We're on the same scene. Now, you know, I didn't know about the hand, but now the campfire scene was one of my favorites because it showed how Ben Foster's character was this loving, and he knew he was being taken care of. He was being nurtured by this person. And it's like, it's something so simple as, let's just share a meal together. And the dad was like, and then what?
No compassion at all.
And
I don't
then
care what you think of her, even though she's raising you. The lack of, there's a detachment
there. It was just hard. Because at that moment, that was his breaking point.
That was his breaking point. That was the turning point for him. Mm-hmm. And the point of no return.
Mm-hmm. Right. At a young age. And watched her die for 3 days.
Mm-hmm. 3 days.
So that meant you went to check. Like, a part of him was like, well, let me. Well, okay.
That makes it worse. Yeah. That makes it worse. And I can tell you that while at the campfire, of course, now, y'all know there's always going to be one who's got the same skin but not can. That's another part in that whole same scene that made me sick, because I was like, now look at you. The other slave just said that you two were slaves together, and now here you are helping him. Okay, that's a whole, we can have a whole nother weight. What
we
conversation
can have a whole
nother that?
Conversation about that too. But that was his means of survival.
Yeah. Right.
That was his means of survival, as ugly as it is and as difficult, but he's just trying to get through.
Right.
You said, Gammy, that watching Emancipation was emotional for you. Mm-hmm. Were you surprised at all by your reactions to it?
No.
You knew
what
it was about.
I was born in 1953. I lived through the civil rights. And so, mm-hmm. No, I was not surprised at how I felt. I feel the same way whenever I see one, no matter whether it's well done or poorly done. I understand the intent.
Right. The seat of the soul is still the
same. What do you think it means as a Black woman in America?
Well, I have to go back to that scene with Dodie N. But I also think about this statement that Trevor Noah made recently, is that Black women can't afford to sit around and find out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that really resonated when Dodie N maimed herself. Mm-hmm. But I also think about that Malcolm X quote from all those years ago. The Black woman is the most disrespected, the most unprotected, the most neglected. So all of that kind of comes into my head when I'm watching the film. But once again, for me, the most important thing for us to remember is that this is part of our history. And I want it to be used as a way to bring us together and not separate us.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you think that, how does that happen?
Conversations like this?
Yeah, I think it's conversations. Seriously. I think it's education. I think we have to educate ourselves and try to regain some pride in who we are and what we bring to the table and who we can be. It starts at home.
Mm-hmm. That part.
It starts at home.
That's big. And you even saw it through Peter, through Will's character, because there were several instances where he remained true to him through his kindness. And the movie opens up with him choosing to help someone that's working right alongside him.
Yeah.
So he was able to stay himself, Peter anyway, throughout his character. We got to ask this because people are talking. What did you think of Will's accent? Did you get to hear him practice it beforehand at all? Because we know he's immersed in these roles.
I didn't. I did not get to hear him practice his accent. And mind you, I didn't know what he should sound like. I'm not familiar with that accent. But my father was from Barbados. My mother was from Jamaica. And I cannot do a West Indian accent if you pay me, right?
Right.
And my nephew speaks patois to me all the time just to make me laugh because he knows I love to hear him speak that way. But I can't do it. Accents and dialects are difficult and challenging. So if he didn't get it exactly like, okay, he tried and he did his best. That is a minor situation. Right.
Yes, it is.
You know what I mean?
I have 2 cents to say about that, Gammy. I'm going to just back you up here because for all of the films that I have watched and people have butchered the Southern accent, I'm going to give Will a pass.
Yeah.
Accents are
very, very difficult.
They are.
Like, come on.
And here's the other part of it. If you don't know where he's supposed to be from, then you don't have any familiarity with what he's supposed to sound. Mm. There's that.
I loved it. Listen, he couldn't do any wrong. The execution was stellar.
There was so much more.
He was so many
other things to focus on than whether his accent was quite right. Please.
Right. Mm-hmm. Understood.
Yeah.
Definitely. I want to hear somebody say, y'all really executed.
Right.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Listen, we do want to ask you a few Red Table Talk questions that have been building from the past 5 seasons.
Jesus.
Okay. From the past 5 seasons of Red Table Talk. So to start, this is a good one, though, because this is one of my favorite episodes. It's the very first episode of Red Table Talk. It discusses all things motherhood, okay? So from blended families to how your mother-daughter relationships have evolved. You touched on a few of your own specific struggles and impactful moments with each other. Then it came full circle with the Mother Hunger episode this season. Man. That was an amazing, amazing episode. What have been the most impactful discoveries that you've made on this Red Table Talk journey of introspection?
It's interesting because I had someone ask me this question recently of how is it that I can just gracefully sit and listen when Jada is talking about her journey and her childhood and how she felt neglected and uncared for and unprotected, and that I sit and listen to it and receive it. The only thing that I can say about that is that it is part of the healing process. To try to defend yourself against something like that is almost negating what the other person has experienced. That was her experience. And so me being able to listen to that, hear that, and accept it as her truth is important for me to understand the damage that I did, how I did it, so that I don't repeat the same mistakes. So it's part of our healing journey. And when I can sit and have compassion and grace for her, then I can have it for myself. Now, Jada would tell you that it's the other way around, that I have to have compassion for myself in order to have compassion for others. I just don't see it that way. I think that my ability to have compassion for other people then allows me to have compassion for myself, because I don't know if there's anyone who's harder on themselves than I am. And I still am to this day. I still carry. People think that I am totally, completely relieved of guilt from the damage that I've done. Absolutely not. I don't know that I ever will be, but I've learned to grow from it. Jada has taught me that all experiences, good and bad, help create and make you the person that you are.
Absolutely, Gam.
But trust me, if I could have done it, I wish I could have done it differently.
Understood.
There is no parent on the face of the earth that doesn't say that, no matter what they had to overcome. I mean, that's a fact. So I appreciate you being in the position, though, to take those experiences and learn from them and grow.
A lot of that also is just how I was raised was how I raised Jada, even though my mother obviously did not suffer from any form of addiction. There was still a way that she had with us, how she cared for us and handled us was not the tender, loving way that Jada mothered her children. You give as much as you can give in that circumstance. You know what I mean?
When you look back as a mother, and I mean, I'm a mother of a 20-year-old. Boy, has he taught me some things. When you look back and you just recognize I did do my best, and then we just continue to evolve, that helps the process. Because like you said, Gam, we all
absolutely
are beating ourselves up or wishing and shoulding and could we have done.
All of us. When you welcomed Olivia J. Gianelli to the table, you were very against it, and I was with you.
Your parents are going to go in, and they're going to do their 60 days, and they're going to pay their fine, and you guys will go on, and you'll be okay, and you will live your life.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's so many of us that it is not going to be that situation.
Yeah.
It just makes it very difficult right now for me to care.
Less than a year later, Olivia got a spot on Dancing with the Stars, proving your viral claim when you said,
at the end of the day, I really feel like she's going to be okay, you know, and she's going to recover whether her ass was sitting at this table or not.
And you were right. Okay, so now, how do you feel about her and having had her on at the table? What you think?
I don't feel any differently. I knew then she was going to be all right. She was going to be all right whether she got Dancing with the Stars or not. That's the thing. That's the thing. She and her family were going to be okay.
Be fine.
And that grace and that ability to move forward with almost a clean slate is not something that most African Americans are given. We're not given the same forgiveness, the same grace when we make our mistakes.
That's
some of
truth.
Those things we take to the grave.
Literally.
And even from our own.
Oh, yeah.
Not just from, you know, but even within the community.
Yeah. I was going to say, even when your peers are at the top.
You know, we can be very judgmental and unforgiving.
100%. Yes. Pookie and Pork Chop didn't get the nickname Pookie and Pork Chop right. for no reason.
Exactly. So I don't, at the end of the day, I don't feel any differently about Olivia. But that is the point of the red table. You know what I mean? If yes. we all agree yeah. with everything, then right. what's the conversation?
Mm-hmm. That's true. I was with you 100%. I was like, okay, the last thing this girl needs is a doggone platform, right. but okay.
And not a platform from Black women.
You know.
Like, really?
Listen. Well, that's the thing. If she had it, we could only have our platform
yeah.
with the other women as well, mm-hmm. any other women. Like, I don't think it's not wrong that she got a new start.
Well, absolutely not.
Right.
She just didn't need our help to do it.
right.
That
but
part.
It's all good.
Black women are tired of saving the yeah. world.
Hello?
Yeah.
Come on.
It is all good. It's all good.
yeah.
She's not the only one that came on there that I didn't think should be on there. And don't be asking me who else, because I'm not doing that.
I wasn't going there. I was not going there.
Not gonna do
Although
that.
You did tease it up just right. Like,
right.
Ooh.
Nope.
Listeners,
right.
you
want to
know.
It.
Tune in next time for more tea with Gammy.
And she ain't spilling it, okay? Listen, Gammy, about a year ago, I got to ask you what your favorite role of Jada's is.
We know you're proud of Jada. Do you have a favorite role she played?
Oh, God.
Go ahead, Cam.
Peaches!
What I want to know now is Peaches still your answer? And secondly, what made you so confident that Jada would succeed in Hollywood?
Okay, yes, it is still Peaches. Because I think that Jada just is such a great, I love to see her in comedy.
Yeah.
I love to see yeah. her in comedy. And I'm her biggest fan. So I Aww. Love everything that she's done. Girls Trip, Jason's yeah. Lyric, Set It Off, you
oh,
name
Girls
it.
Trip.
I love it. But yes. I also have to say that I think one of the proudest things when it comes to her career is actually Red Table Talk, because I know how important that was to her. And to share her journey of healing and recovery with the world. And it was something that, like, it started out for just the three of us, for Jada mm-hmm. Willow and I, and then expanded out into the world and a community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, OGs and everything.
Yeah, just what it's right. brought to the world, just being able to open up conversation like that, I think was really important work. So I am hugely proud to be a part of that.
Someone came to me the other day and said, I just want you to know you're connected to Red Table Talk. And I keep a notebook, and the growth that I've had from watching those episodes
yep.
has helped me. And I've been able to take what I've learned and share it with my sisters. And we've gone through such tremendous healing.
Yeah.
So no, it matters.
Absolutely.
It really
part,
matters.
Absolutely.
It definitely does. It's changed my life, if you haven't noticed. I love Red Table Talk. Always will. It's just... That was the first space building a community online where I had
yes.
a voice when I didn't have a voice
right.
with That's my employer, right. where I was that only Black person in the workplace. And I just was able to connect with my women,
mm-hmm.
was able to connect
it's
with
important.
My tribe. It's helped me tremendously. And I thank you, Gammy. Thank you, everybody.
Yes. There's so much more
yes.
we could talk about. Because, I mean, we have you here, like, we want to keep you. But we know that there's...
We want you to come back.
We want you to come back is what we want you to do. So we won't yes, keep you this time.
Definitely.
So we want to thank you.
Thank you for having me on. I was glad to be here. Glad to have this conversation, particularly about Emancipation, which is
yes.
such
yes.
an important film. And I hope people can go and see it and be open-minded. And it's about the message. It's about the message.
And it's not a Black film.
No.
It's a film about history.
Yes.
Yes.
That, and things that happened to Black people.
American
but
history.
But it's not a Black film. Right. Everyone should see Emancipation.
Everyone.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Gam.
Thank you so much for being with us and coming to our virtual red table.
Thank you. And just reminding people that they can see Emancipation on Apple TV.
That's
yes.
right.
Right.
Go watch
it's streaming
it
now.
And if you're smart, you'll go to Will's IG page and get a special promotion
right.
that's going
yes.
along with Apple TV to get
two months
for
free.
2 months for
two
free.
2 months for free.
Can't beat that. Thank you so much, Gammy.
All right. Thank you, guys.
We want to know how you're feeling about this new season of Red Table Talk. We are open to talk about anything with you. So please send in your questions at letsredtablethat@redtabletalk.com. Or there's another option. Leave us a voicemail at speakpipe.com/letsredtablethat.
Yes, we want to hear your voice. Thank you so much for listening to us. We want you to make sure that you subscribe on iHeartRadio app, and please rate this podcast on Apple Podcasts. Y'all know we want a 5. We'll be back next week for another episode of Let's Red Table That. Special thanks to executive producers Jada Pinkett Smith,
Fallon Jethro,
and Ellen Rackerton.
Thank you to our producer, Kyla Kaneru,
and our associate producer, Yolanda Chow.
And finally, thanks to our sound engineer, Stephanie Aguilar.
Yay.
Hey, let's red table that. Let's red table that.
Hey.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.